This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Inna alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa sayyiati a'malina. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله عز وجل وخير الهدي هدي نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة. All praise is due to Allah. We praise Him, we seek His aid and we ask for His forgiveness. We seek refuge and protection in Allah from the evils of ourselves and the evil consequences of our own actions. Whomsoever Allah guides, none can lead astray, and whomsoever Allah leaves to go astray, none can guide. I testify that there is none worthy of our worship and devotion but the Almighty Allah alone. And I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as He should be feared and die not except in a state of submission as Muslims. O mankind, be dutiful to your Lord who created you from a single person and from Him He created His wife and from them both He created many men and women. And fear Allah through whom you demand your mutual rights and observe the rights of your kin. Surely Allah is ever and all watcher over you. O you who believe, keep your duty to Allah, fear Him and speak the truth. He will direct you to righteous deeds and will forgive your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has indeed attained a great achievement. The best words are the words of Allah, the Almighty, and the best guidance is that of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And the worst things in the religion are the newly invented matters, for all the newly invented matters in religion are heretical innovation and bid'ah, and every bid'ah is misguidance. As we read the Quran, you will notice one important feature, that a huge part of the Quran tells us stories of previous nations. Tells us the story of Adam alayhi salam, tells us the story of Nuh alayhi salam and his people, how they received the message, how they opposed the message, and how they were destroyed in the flood. Then you will receive stories about all the different prophets and messengers. Ad, Thamud, Qawm Lut, Ashabul Ayka, Qawm Shu'ayb, the Pharaoh, the Egyptians, and other nations. And the Muslim is meant to engage with the Quran and take benefit from it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and clarifies the purpose why He sent the Qur'an down to us. Allah guides us to how we can benefit from the Qur'an, how we can draw maximum benefit from the Qur'an. Allah says, كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ مُبَارَكٌ لِيَدَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِهِ وَلِيَتَذَكَّرَ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. It's a blessed book that we sent down so that they reflect on its signs, on its verses, on its words. You reflect, you take lessons. Tadabbur comes from the fact that you draw conclusions, powerful conclusions for your life, for your lifestyle, for how to deal with life, for how to be, for what to do and what not to do. That's what tadabbur means. Tadabbur is that you dive into the meanings and you engage with the lessons and you take your fair share of them so that they can enlighten your lifestyle. That's what tadabbur means. And if you do that right, you will fulfill the later part of the verse where Allah says, وَلِيَتَذَكَّرَ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. And the people with sound hearts and sound minds. Because if a person is not of a sound heart, they cannot be of a sound mind. Those people will be able to accept the reminder, to heed the lessons, the benefit. They will connect to the reality of their life, which is already instilled of them. It will awaken their fitrah, their understanding of this life. So they will be reminded, yatadhakkar, they will be reminded. So as we engage with these verses, which is actually a big portion of the Qur'an, we tend to read these stories as stories of the past, as something that has to do with previous nations. And that, although not exactly, but it echoes the response of the people of Quraysh. Because the people of Quraysh, when they heard the Qur'an and that the Qur'an talks about the stories of the people of Nuh and the people of Ad and the people of Thamud, قَالُوا مَا هَذَا إِلَّا أَسَاطِيرُ الْأَوَّلِينَ. They said, these are the myths, the fairy tales, stories of previous nations, of the past. And that led them to disbelieve in it, or this was their excuse of disbelieving in it. But oftentimes we Muslims today, when we read these stories, we think it talks about past nations. And that it doesn't mean much to us. Or it holds minimal relevance to our present reality. And that's a very serious flaw. And a fatal disadvantage. Because these stories relate to us. They have a heavy connection to our reality, to our life, our present, and our future. But, unfortunately, there is a state that Allah described in the Qur'an, and it's called ghafla. It's some sort of being in a trance, not being able to see reality, to see the truth. You would find the lesson right in front of your eyes, but you won't be able to relate to it. You'll see the truth, but you can't absorb it. Or it feels as though it doesn't relate to you. It has no connection. It has no conclusions that you can draw into your life and benefit from. And that's the state of ghafla. And all of us, when we die, we will wake up from this ghafla. We'll come back to our full senses. We start to see things for what they are. We will be liberated from the so-called matrix that we are all part of, which is the heavy load and bombardment of modern culture and ways of life that negate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, negate the Creator, negate the purposeful nature of this existence, and thus sucks us into a life of hedonism, pursuing our personal goals, pleasures, and immediate gratification to the point that we forget Allah. And when Allah is mentioned, it doesn't really mean much to us. And thus when previous nations are mentioned and how they responded to the truth, which was the message that was conveyed to them by their prophets and messengers,
and then how they were treated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how they were given chance and time, and then how eventually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed them through what seems to be natural disasters that we define today as natural phenomena. Natural disasters, hurricanes, floods, fires, earthquakes. We relate to those through the lens of what? Scientism and atheism. This is natural phenomena. Yes, we have uncovered much of the direct dynamics and causality of these natural phenomena. But that doesn't mean we understand their overall meaning and intent and the real reasons behind their occurrences. Because when Allah sent hurricanes and storms that wiped out defiant nations, they happened most likely according to the dynamics that we understand today of how the weather functions. When Allah sent earthquakes on people that destroyed them and ruined their nations and their civilization, most likely it happened by the same mechanisms that earthquakes happen today, but at a larger magnitude. When floods happened, it happened by the same mechanism but at a larger scale. So the way we are dealing today with natural disasters is very alarming for a believer. We have a lot happening around us. There are forest fires. There are heat waves. There are hurricanes. There are floods. There are earthquakes. And there are so many natural disasters occurring in the world. And we pass by them heedless. We think, oh, that's a natural phenomena. It happened because of such and such dynamics. Right? We talk about the weather. We talk about the earth. We talk about rain. We talk about natural phenomena and different patterns. And we think now we have managed to control the environment and the world that we live in. And then Allah sends reminders to humans that no matter how advanced you are, and the advancement that you have is from Allah. Humans don't create knowledge. Humans do not originate knowledge out of nothing. These are things that Allah inspired in humans to test them through that civilization, through that development. Allah sends reminders to tell us that no matter how advanced you are, you live in a world that can dwarf everything that you can build. It can destroy you in a second. This world that is a tiny speck in the huge creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can easily destroy you. You can be wiped out in no time. So don't be deluded by this kind of illusion of scientific advancement and human superiority. And Allah sends sometimes these signs at an individual level. Sometimes people think they have become invincible, that you have become strong, undefeatable. Then Allah sends a calamity from a place you never expected and it ruins you. There are many people who achieve success at the professional level, the financial level. Then they think they have it all. Then what happens? Their family breaks down. Divorce happens. Family problems ruin their peace of mind. Because the punishment of Allah and the reminders of Allah don't always come in a mega scale format, at a major scale. They could sometimes hit individually. Allah destroyed Qarun, the rich man in the people, among the people of Egypt at the time. Allah destroyed him when he was arrogant, when he indulged in disbelief. Allah destroyed him and ruined him and made him a sign for everyone. So the punishment of Allah comes in many ways and forms and different sizes according to the wisdom of Allah. Umar ibn Khattab, when he was the Khalifa, one day, as Safiya radiallahu anha, the wife of his son Abdullah ibn Umar, narrates, And this is mentioned by Ibn Abdul Barr in Al-Istidkar. He said, تَزَلْزَلَتِ الْأَرْضُ عَلَىٰ عَهْدِ عُمَرَ بْنِ الْخَطَّابِ فَقَامَ حَتَّى اسْطَكَّتِ السُّرُرُ فَقَامَ فَحَمِدَ اللَّهَ وَأَثْنَى عَلَيْهِ ثُمَّ قَالَ مَا أَسْرَعَ مَا أَحْدَثْتُمْ فِيهَا وَاللَّهِ لَإِنْ عَادَتْ لَأَخْرُجَنَّ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَظْهُرِكُمْ وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ لَا أُسَاكِنُكُمْ فِيهَا أَبَدًا. An earthquake took place at the time of Umar ibn al-Khattab. Until the furniture in the house, in the houses, started to squeak and make those sounds of shaking. Umar ibn al-Khattab rushed to the public and he started a khutbah. He praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he said to the people, how quick you are to fall into violation and sin. He said, wallahi, if the earthquake returns, if it happens again, I will not live among you. Umar ibn al-Khattab was alarmed by an earthquake. This is how the early generations, this is how they understood natural phenomena that we pass by, thinking, oh, science explains it. Science explains the immediate dynamics, but it doesn't understand the cosmological, the bigger view. And why Allah allows these things to happen? These are junudullah. These are the signs of Allah. These things are in the hands of Allah. And Allah uses them for what He wants. Allah could command them, and they could destroy the earth. And who holds them? Who holds these powers? These powerful forces and dynamics. Who holds them from destroying life on earth? Allah keeps them in shape. We forget that. We put our trust in sciences and science, thinking, oh, humanity is in a safe place. Then Allah sends calamities to remind us. Viruses, illnesses, diseases. A submarine imploding in the middle of the ocean, thinking they have conquered the ocean and they have mastered physics and the dynamics of nature. Then Allah sends a simple reminder. Very, very simple. But people should take heed. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as Aisha radiyallahu anha narrates, قالت كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا رأى مخيلة في السماء أي سحابا في السماء ذهب وجاء ودخل وخرج وتمع وتغير وجهه فإذا أمطرت السماء سري ذلك عنه فذكرته له عائشة فقال يا عائشة أخشى أن يكون كما قال قوم فلما رأوه عارضا مستقبل أوديتهم قالوا هذا عارض ممطرنا بل هو ما استعجلتم به ريح فيها عذاب أليم. عائشة رضي الله عنها says, when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, when there was clouds approaching in the horizon, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم would go in and out, and he would go here and there, and he would be troubled, and his face would be troubled and worried. He would be taken by worry. And then when, if rain falls safely without any problems, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his face, ease would fall upon him again and he would be relieved. So Aisha radiallahu anha asked him about this. This thing happens, how often it happens in our life? We see the clouds approaching, right? We hear about forest fires. We hear about earthquakes. We have sometimes floods. And it just happens without us even paying attention. Without us even thinking that this could be a punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the Prophet ﷺ, when he saw the rain, he would get so troubled and so worried. So Aisha radiallahu anha said, O Messenger of Allah, why is that? The Prophet ﷺ said, I fear that it might be like the people who were mentioned in Surah Al-Ahqaf, people of Ad. When the punishment came, how did it approach them? As clouds that have rain in them. So Allah says, فَلَمَّا رَأُوهُ عَارِضًا مُسْتَقْبِلَ أَوْدِيَتِهِمْ قَالُوا هَذَا عَارِضٌ مُمْطِرُنَا. Because they challenged Hud alayhi salam. And they said, you know, bring the punishment if you are truthful. If Allah is real, if Allah is the only one who has the right to be worshipped, we won't believe. If you are truthful, bring the punishment. And they kept asking for it. So when they saw the clouds approaching, they said, "That's rain." So they felt happy because they were dependent on rain, obviously. They were more connected to nature at the time. So they would fill their reserves. قَالُوا هَذَا عَارِضٌ مُمْطِرُنَا بَلْ هُوَ مَا اسْتَعْجَلْتُمْ بِهِ. Allah says, "Nay, this is what you were asking for. رِيحٌ فِيهَا عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Wind that has, that contains severe punishment. تُدَمِّرُ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ بِأَمْرِ رَبِّهَا. It destroys everything by the command of its Lord. فَأَصْبَحُوا لَا يُرَى إِلَّا مَسَاكِنُهُمْ. In the morning, there was nothing left on the surface of the earth but the remains of their house, the ruins. That's what the Prophet ﷺ feared. The Messenger ﷺ, when there was an eclipse, what did he teach the companions? Rush to the masjid and have the salah, Salatul Khusuf and Salatul Kusuf, the salah of eclipse. We see all of this natural phenomena and becomes what? Entertainment. It becomes news. We don't think about it. You know why? Because we're not taking heed. We are thinking atheistically about natural phenomena. Oh, there is some mechanism behind it. The mechanism behind it does not negate the bigger purpose for which Allah created them. Allah put them in place. And your understanding and deciphering the natural mechanism does not mean that you can control them. There will always be a disease that you will not be able to understand. There will always be a disaster that you will not be able to handle. There will always be a calamity that you will be unprepared for. There will always be something that will catch you off guard. You're humans, you're helpless. So don't be arrogant. Depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fear the punishment of Allah. Be concerned. This is how a Muslim, a true believer, walks through life. Being concerned. And not being satisfied with themselves, not being impressed with themselves at all. It doesn't mean we put ourselves down. It doesn't mean we doubt ourselves, but it means that we live in hope and fear. We know that we can never give Allah His rights. So that propels us to always do more and feel that we have fallen short and that Allah deserves better than that. So we never grow content with ourselves. We never admire our own actions. And that will make us reliant on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on the mercy of Allah, rather than relying on our own actions. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وبعد. الله سبحانه وتعالى says, ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس. That corruption has appeared on the land and in the sea because of the actions of humanity. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said in the hadith, إن الله وملائكته وأهل السماوات وأهل الأرض والنملة في جحرها والحوت في البحر ليصلون على معلم الناس الخير. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises and blesses, and the inhabitants of the heavens, the angels, and those of the earth, even the ants, the insects, the small creation, even the fish in the sea, praise and pray for the people who teach others good. Why? Because, you know, good is the reality, is the back end of the reality that we see. The dynamics that we are able to understand through science and through human knowledge is actually only the thin layer of the front end. There's a deeper reality in the back end where greater mechanisms and different chains of causality are in function. But we humans, again, we're acting in denial to those. We think, oh, the only real thing is what we can capture with our senses. So we became arrogant and we have shut, you know, whole doors that lead us to greater reality, that control how life unfolds. So values of good and evil have a big impact on the quality of life on earth. It impacts life on earth. And this is why everything in the creation praises the people who teach good. Why? Because they invite others to good. So they bring about the balance of good to be weightier, to be heavier, to have more impact on the creation. And that's why Allah said in the other verse that corruption has appeared on the earth. Why? Because of the sins of humans. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُولَٰئِكَ يَلْعَنُهُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَلْعَنُهُمُ اللَّاعِنُونَ, about the disbelievers, that they are cursed by Allah and they are cursed by the creation. Mujahid, the great mufassir, he said that all of the creation on earth, the animals, even the animals, the cattle, the livestock, curses the sinners among humans because of the corruption they bring about on the earth, because of the famine, because of the starvation, because of the disturbance to the natural world that they bring about through their sins. These are the curse. This is the curse that comes with the sin, with disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we need as Muslims to believe in the world of the unseen, to see the full spectrum of reality, and not only be limited to this atheistic view that only believes in the physical reality as it, you know, shows itself. There is more to the world than what those who disbelieve really want and what they're happy with. So as a believer, when any natural phenomenon happens, it should be a reminder. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَوَلَا يَرَوْنَ أَنَّهُمْ يُفْتَنُونَ فِي كُلِّ عَامٍ مَرَّةً أَوْ مَرَّتَيْنَ ثُمَّ لَا يَتُوبُونَ وَلَا هُمْ يَذَّكَّرُونَ. Don't they see that every year that they are tested by calamity, by hardship? Some of the Mufassirin said by natural disasters, once or twice every year, and they don't take heed. These are reminders. Allah is sending reminders to us every day, reminding us that remember why you're here. Remember that I could take you away in the blink of an eye. You could disappear. Your dreams will evaporate. These are reminders, so we should take them as reminders, not only be satisfied and suffice ourselves with what science seems to tell us about the immediate and surface dynamics of the natural world. And we don't want to fall in the warning where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, because we have this proclivity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ حَتَّى إِذَا فَرِحُوا بِمَا أُوتُوا أَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَ فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْلِسُونَ. And when they have turned away from what they were reminded, from the truth, from the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to worship Him, to be truthful and loyal to Him, فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ, we opened the door of all blessings to them. And that's why you're here today. It's the best time in human history to be alive. There is so much potential, there's so much goodness, there's so many blessings, there's so many opportunities, best time, civilization, and resources, and so on and so forth, right? And we don't realize this could be what Allah says, وَأُمْلِي لَهُمْ إِنَّ كَيْدِي مَتِينَ, and I will give them more, and I'll give them more time as well, but when I catch them, I'll destroy them. فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ, we opened the door, opened the doors of all blessings to them. All blessings were showered upon them. They thought, what? Wow, we're in good shape. We're good with Allah. We figured out the secret of life. We live in luxury that no other race or no other generation in humanity has ever enjoyed. We live in the best times in history, right? So much technology, so many resources, so many beautiful things, opportunities. فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ حَتَّى إِذَا فَرِحُوا بِمَا أُوتُوا أَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَةً. When they grow happy, pleased, content, attached to what they were given, we would destroy them. We would destroy them. وَكَذَلِكَ أَخْذُ رَبِّكَ إِذَا أَخَذَ الْقُرَى إِذَا أَخَذَ الْقُرَى وَهِيَ ظَالِمَةٌ إِنَّ أَخْذَهُ أَلِيمٌ شَدِيدٌ. That's how Allah destroys these nations. It's very severe and powerful and swift. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us and help us pay heed and be mindful of Him and be mindful of His signs in the creation and in everything around us. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات. اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. اللهم اغفر تقصيرنا يا ذا الجلال والإكرام وتجاوز عنا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه والتابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله يذكركم واشكروه على نعمه يزدكم.